Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Bible class. Today is the first Sunday in Advent, and as I mentioned during the Divine Service, Ad Te Lavi or Ad Te Lavavi, you'll notice that each Sunday in Advent has a Latin title, and that's taken from the first verse of the introit. So for this Sunday, it's To You I Lift Up, okay? And of course, we had in our gospel reading for today, Jesus entering Jerusalem, songs and cries of Hosanna's acknowledgement that the one true King has come. I'll tie that into our Bible study today because we'll continue to talk a little bit about the kings that Daniel has served under and some of the requirements that were foisted upon him contrary to God's word and how Daniel, as a man of faith, handled that. Before we get into Bible class, just a couple of announcements. Remember as well, now that we have started Advent, we do have special Advent services. We'll pray Vespers every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m., so that's different from the time we've been having our normal services on Wednesday at 6:30. So 7 o'clock p.m. starting this Wednesday. And one of the neat things that Pastor Grady and I had tossed around and decided to do was to ask our retired pastors if they would preach at our Wednesday services. And so all three of them, or I should say three of them, because we have more than three that are of retired pastors, three of them will be preaching for us. So starting this Wednesday, we'll welcome back Pastor Feeney, who's going to preach for us. And then I think after that we have Pastor Ullman, on the 9th, and then Pastor Davis will be preaching on the 16th. And so our theme for our midweek services is based on the devotional booklet. If you've not picked up your devotional booklet, make sure you stop by church sometime during office hours, or if you have a key card or a key, you can come in anytime. It's in your member mailbox. So our theme this year is the Jesse Tree. This devotional series was actually written under the oversight of Dr. Dan Gard, past professor at the seminary, and then past president up at Concordia University in River Forest. Great confessional Lutheran pastor and academic, and it's a good series. The other thing that we put in your member mailboxes, if you have children, and I think we did under second grade, I can't remember what were we, fourth grade, so if you have children in your home, fourth grade or under, we also provided an additional little booklet for children that you can, it's not a coloring booklet, it's a children's book based on the Jesse tree, and it has ornaments that you can make and actually hang on the tree to track throughout the season of Advent, all leading up to Christmas, okay? So even though we've got Christmas decorations that are out and about, and that's all fine and good. Remember that Advent is not technically Christmas yet. And if you didn't, if you weren't here listening to the early service, Pastor Grady will straighten you out in the late service. So just wait for it, because Advent is a wonderful season, time of preparation for our coming King at Christmas as well. Okay, a couple of just announcements real quick for some of you that are online. On Sunday, November 29th, that's today, the Giving Tree, you'll notice, is set up in the narthex, and there's paper ornaments containing Christmas wish items for residents at Lutheran Child and Family Services. And so thanks to Sven and Brady, who were here last week. Sven gave you all an overview of the work of Lutheran Child and Family Services, and that's one of our areas of mission and outreach here in our area. And so if you grab a paper ornament on there, it'll contain Christmas items that residents that are staying there at Lutheran Child and Family Services would love to have. Place under the tree the unwrapped present, so don't wrap it. Get an ornament, go buy whatever gift is on there, and then take that ornament that has that item, put it on the package, unwrapped package, and put that under the tree. And we need to have all those taken care of by December 13th, okay? Couple of words and notes. Please do not buy any journals or notebooks with metal spiral bindings and no pencil sharpeners. Any books purchased need to be paperback versions. And then we're going to deliver these gifts on December 14th. Okay? Any other announcements? Anything else I'm missing? I talked about the devotional booklets. And of course, hopefully all of you have received a notice of our current plan that we're in for Orange. Early service, mask required. Second service, mask recommended. Late service is really just what we've been doing. Gosh, what else? I don't know if there's too much else to tell you. Oh, no dinner, of course, on Wednesday, which I'm really bummed about because I love to eat. I like food. So let's get through Christmas and hopefully we can... I'm not even going to use the word normal anymore because I don't know what normal is. So it is what it is. But the Lord remains the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So please smile because your God is still with you. And even though we go through these changes, he does not change. And his gifts are still new every morning. Okay, nothing else I missed for announcements? Okay, since we're back to, at least for Bible class, kind of online format here, if you have any questions, if you're watching at home, send them over. And today my son, who is running the computer, will let me know what your questions are. We are in Daniel chapter 6. I'm going to do a brief overview because while I was gone here, took a little bit of vacation time, did a little more pheasant hunting with my boys. And we had very small family gatherings with my parents and my wife's parents on two separate days over Thanksgiving back in Kansas City. And that was wonderful. I miss the big gatherings. I'm waiting for that. Anyway, so we got back safe, had a great time. That's it. Let's pray. The Lord be with you. Lord God, Heavenly Father, send forth your Son, we pray, to lead home his bride, the church, that with all the company of the redeemed, we may finally enter into his eternal wedding feast. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So that's what you have to look forward to, an eternal wedding feast. Lots of good food and beverage, no COVID restrictions, that yet awaits us. Last thing to mention real quick, this last week on, it was either Wednesday or Thursday, Reverend Paul McCain was called to his eternal rest. Going to really, really miss Paul. He had been serving at CPH. He was also, back in the day, he was one of the right-hand men under Dr. A.L. Berry, along with Reverend Dr. Ken Sherb and a few others, Reverend McCain did some great work at CPH that we have really benefited from, and gonna miss all of his contributions. And he could be a little feisty sometimes in a good way. He was a solid man. So we give thanks to God for his work and pray for his family as well. Okay, any questions? Daniel chapter 6. Go ahead and open up your Bibles. And 2 weeks ago, we went through chapter 6. We just kind of read through it. I did have one question that came up, who is this Darius fellow? Pay attention, Votemans, if you're watching at home, because I think one of you had this question, and I actually did cover this, but maybe you missed it, okay? So in 539, this just helps me think, okay? Okay, so I'm going to put two dates up here, 605, roughly, and 539. 605 was when Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were basically captured by, what was the name of the king from Babylon at the time? Nebuchadnezzar, okay? Technically, Nebuchadnezzar wasn't originally the king. His father was. Nebuchadnezzar was the one that was a general that conquered basically Jerusalem. And then his father died, and Nebuchadnezzar, King Neb, took it over, okay? Daniel then served under King Nebuchadnezzar this whole time, 64, 65, 66 years, okay? In 539 BC, we have a guy by the name of Cyrus. Cyrus is Persian, okay? The Persians came down and conquered Babylon, okay? And so that was the end. Nebuchadnezzar actually had died before then. And The Angel in the Lion's Den, chapter 6, occurs under the reign of Cyrus. Okay? However, we're introduced to the name Darius. Now, scholars, and this is where it gets confusing. Okay? Some scholars think that Darius is Cyrus. Cyrus is Darius. Okay? Other scholars talk about the rule of a guy by the name of Nabonidus. Yeah, let's not go back to him. Here's the name. That's right. So under Cyrus, we have some extra biblical sources that talk about a guy by the name, let's just call him Gobi. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Oh, it's Gobrias. Sorry. I did that wrong. Is it U-S? Yeah, no, it's Y-S. Okay. And so we know from some research and documents we've uncovered, there was a guy by the name of Gobrias. So what Cyrus did when he would conquer these different areas, he would set up governors in that place, kind of like Pontius Pilate. But they would basically be kings that would serve in that area. Okay, so this Darius fellow is probably one of two people, either Cyrus himself or Gobrias. Okay, so there's just, and this is the other reason that some people way back when and even still today would say, Daniel is so confusing it can't be the word of God. Okay, but folks, we're talking, how many years ago is that? 2,600 years ago? There's a lot that gets lost in terms of history, and you get the translation of the languages, okay? So regardless, when Daniel gets thrown in the lion's den, it's under this guy named Darius. It is not under Nebuchadnezzar. So the question that I had was, how could Nebuchadnezzar allow Daniel to be thrown in the lion's den? Well, it wasn't Nebuchadnezzar. He was already dead and gone. They had been conquered by Cyrus, either a.k.a. Darius, or Darius as a governor, possibly also Gobrias. Now just shake your head up and down and say, yeah, I'm confused, and that's okay. What we do know from what we learned last 2 weeks ago in Daniel chapter 6 is Darius loved Daniel. Daniel was a right-hand man, okay? Daniel was very faithful, both with Nebuchadnezzar and with the reign of the Persians, of Cyrus itself. He was recognized for his intelligence and his wisdom. And if you look there at chapter 6, you'll see that when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, Darius was completely torn about it. Okay, look at chapter 14. Then the king, when he heard these words, and of course the words were that only who could be worshipped? Only who could be worshipped. So what did the document say? Let's go back to chapter 6. Okay? Verse 6. Then these presidents and satraps came by agreement to the king and said, O King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the prefects, the satraps, the counselors, the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction, that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Okay? So the injunction that King Darius signed was that only who should be worshipped. How pretentious of him. Okay? But this is what his advisors, you know, and I wonder what Daniel would have said. Daniel probably would have been maybe a dissenting voice to that. But for 30 days, okay, now you, Darius, or Cyrus, or Gobrias, these are the new Persian rule. And what better way to, and think of what Hitler did during World War II. It ended up being worship of who? Of Hitler. Okay, so we see this in terms of history, well documented. And so now we're going to worship the king, and for 30 days, he's the only one that can be prayed to. Okay? What did Daniel do as a man of faith? Did he do that? No. Daniel went about his normal routine. Do you remember from Daniel chapter 6 how often he prayed? Three times a day. And this is where we would have a good benchmark or an example. Remember that you don't live under law. So whether you pray once a day or three times a day or 10 times a day or 100 times a day, you are justified by your faith, right? Not by your actions. But a good example, I would say, prayer three times a day, dedicated prayer three times a day would be a good thing, okay? Some of us might pray more, some of us less, but we see Daniel praying three times a day. Luther in his small catechism, you know, emphasizes when you get up in the morning and at every meal, okay? So if you eat three squares a day, like most of us do, that's five times a day, is what Luther would encourage from the small catechism, okay? So Daniel just does his normal prayers, and these guys come back, and they say, "Oh, king, somebody's broken your commandment, your injunction," and Darius, of course, is tore up about it. So you look at 14, "And the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and sent his mind to deliver Daniel, and he labored till the sun went down to rescue him." Okay, and of course, there's nothing he could do. The king had signed this decree. He was caught in his own words, and the king probably also, this is a whole PR move. He's got to stand by what he's written. I suppose he could change it, but keep in mind, this is also now, you know, new rule by a new king, and so you got to keep the masses happy and keep people moving forward. So long story short, Daniel is thrown into the lion's den, and what happens? What did we read 2 weeks ago? Nothing. Okay? He gets a good night's sleep in the lion's den. Okay? And as we talked about last week, then at break of day, verse 19, "The king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near the den to where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish." Okay? "The king declared, 'O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?' And then Daniel spoke." And so remember, speaking from God speaking and God speaking through the mouth of his prophets is a huge thing, which is why God still speaks through those whom he has chosen and ordained today. So, you know, when we're using divine service setting 3, we always get the question, why is only the pastor praying the Lord's Prayer? I know I emphasize this, but it's always new for some people. Jesus is teaching you how to pray. So the pastor is merely the viva vox Christe, the very voice of Christ to you. So it's not that pastor is keeping the Lord's Prayer for himself. It's that he is representing Jesus. And so when the pastor is up there saying, singing, chanting the Lord's Prayer, you should see, believe, and understand it as if Jesus is giving you his prayer. Now, how awesome is that? That's pretty cool. Because when God speaks, it's an amazing thing. We believe that God still speaks through the ways and means he has ordained. And that would be one of the ways and the means. Okay? So Daniel speaks, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths. And they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him." This is Hebrews chapter 11, righteous by faith, the same way that Abraham was found righteous. So Daniel is blameless because of his faith. Okay? And he shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me. Okay, and I was also blameless before you, O king. Which, wow. But wait a minute, didn't Daniel break the law of the king? But that's where we scripture interpret scripture. We must obey God rather than men. So we obey the government, we obey the rulers of the land, as long as they don't conflict with what scripture says. For that reason, we still take a stance as Bible-believing Christians on sexuality. Got a good question from one of my children this last week while we were driving with Hunting Trip, you know. So what do you think? Is sex the same as gender and gender the same as sex? I said, yep. Male and female, he created them. Okay? And of course, my son agreed with that, but what does Scripture teach? Exactly that. What does the world teach? Quite the opposite. So for us, our truth is found based in Scripture, absolute truth. Okay, not subjective that you can decide, you know, what gender you are. Okay, that sort of thing. Okay? Now, the angel there that that takes place in verse 22, a lot of scholars believe that this was the pre-incarnate Christ. This word angel that occurs refers to messenger of God, spokesman for God, protector. And we don't know exactly. We can't say for sure this was Jesus that was there in the lion's den. Of course, it's Jesus before he had flesh on, okay? Or if perhaps it was Michael or Gabriel as an archangel or any other angel that God could have sent. We don't know for sure. But when we have a singular angel like this that is not mentioned, you know, it's certainly quite possible that this was Jesus, the Word, who is there now to protect Daniel. And regardless, God always protects his people accordingly. And of course, God still had plans for Daniel, you know, to write this book so that we could hear and receive now this testimony, this word of God. Daniel was taken up out of the lion's den into verse 23. No harm was found on him. Same thing with the fiery furnace. No smell of smoke. Okay? So I assume the lion, you know, when we were hunting this last week, there was one of the dogs that was really friendly. And they come up to you. What does a dog do to you sometimes? So you get slobber running down your beard, you know, and your wife's like, that's nasty. And you're like, that's cool. That's a hunting dog. So Daniel didn't even have the smell of lion or slobber on him. He had no marks, no indication that he was even there around the lion. Same thing with the fiery furnace, no smell of smoke. Okay. Okay. Because he had trusted in his God because of faith. Okay, verse 24, the king commanded those men who had maliciously accused Daniel now were brought and cast into the den of lions. They, their children, and their wives. So all those who were tattletales were seeking Daniel's life. The king commanded that not only they, but also their wives and their children. Okay, and here the scripture gets kind of vicious, so close your ears if you don't want to hear this. Before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered and broke all their bones in pieces. Okay? I won't go any further with that because that might make some people queasy. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth. So this is now Persia that has now conquered Babylon. Now keep in mind, the term Babylon through scripture and history has always represented kind of the worst, okay? Just pagans, you know, sinners. You'll see this in some of the popular Hollywood movies as well, where both the Babylonians and the Persians are, they're just funky-looking people, right? They're like, they look like they're out of, if you're a Mad Max fan from back in the day, they just look post-apocalyptic, kind of crazy, you know, missing half their teeth, and you know they're so yeah, okay. All right, back to the text. So King Darius now writes to all the people. So these are now both all those in Babylon and Persia. Now I want you to see how the Lord is yet at work. So God is always desiring to oiangelion the people, oiangelion the gospel. He wants to gospel people. Now, how does God go about doing that? Through his word. Okay, remember the parable of the sower of the seed, right? God's a bad farmer because he doesn't just plant the seed, you know, in one spot like a farmer would do with soil that's been prepared. You know, we obviously drove quite a bit from western Nebraska to here, and a lot of the fields have already been prepped for the winter, which means they've either been tilled or turned over, as well as what? What do they apply to a lot? Not all the fields. What do they apply to the fields this time of year? Do you know? They put fertilizer down. Did you know that? Yeah, they'll put stuff down in the field to prepare it in the same way that some of you, if you're really big on taking care of your lawn, you know, you've got like a late fall or an early winter stuff that you'll put down so that in the spring, there'll be fewer weeds and the grass will grow a little bit. Farmers do the same thing. Okay, not all of them. There's no-till and all that other stuff too. But we saw some of those fields that have been prepped. God, however, he just scatters seed everywhere. And so this is one of the ways now that God is using Daniel. And listen to this. I want to read this. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, "Peace be multiplied to you." So it starts with peace. Now again, you know, did Darius, Cyrus, or Gabrias actually have saving faith? We don't know. Only God knows. We see them, you know, say some things that sound like faith, kind of like with Nebuchadnezzar. We talked about him. And boy, he says some of the right things, but then he does some other really boneheaded things that seem to not be about faith, okay? Based on history and that sort of thing, doesn't, you know, hard to, we just leave that in God's hands. We just leave that in God's hands, whether we'll see them in our heaven or not, but God certainly used them. Cyrus, you know, again, is one of those special ones in Scripture that is signaled out. And I would say along with Nebuchadnezzar, you know, who did not have faith but whom God continued to use. And so whoever the elected officials are or conquering kings in this life, God still reigns over all. Okay? And so when we talk about the majesty of God, the magisterium of God, his control and his power, so, you know, some of you are pretty upset about how the election went or is still going. And while, yeah, I can't say that personally I'm real happy with where things are at. I'm concerned that our nation is so divided. But what do I trust in? I trust that who is yet in charge of all things? God. And regardless of who actually ends up being our president in January, okay, I mean, to be honest, I really don't like either one of the candidates, but that's a different story. I'm not going to get political, okay? For various reasons, God's will be done. And that's why we pray that in the Lord's Prayer, okay? Certain things that I believe that affect how I vote, and I would hope that's the same for you as well, but never get to the point where they did here with Darius or with others of worship the earthly person is in power. And so we need to be very careful of that as well, okay? But we had a fun conversation on hunting trip. Who was the, how did we phrase it? We went around the room. Who do you think was the most Christian or faithful president we had of all time? And it was kind of a fun little history chat, right? The Adams, of course, came up. Jimmy Carter came up. And what was interesting, then we started talking about, you know, how well some of them did or did not do actually as president, you know, regardless of their Christian faith. And it was just kind of fun to look at, you know. And we're never going to have a leader that's the whole package because, to be honest, the only leader we have that's the whole package is Jesus. But let's move on. So here's what he said. Peace be with you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. Now, this would be one place we would say that Darius, Cyrus, or Gabrias gets this wrong. The God of Daniel. Why don't you just call him who he is? The one true God. But he says the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. Nod your heads if that sounds right at home or for the few of you that are here. Yeah, he's a God that lives forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed. Yeah. Okay. And that's what Jesus is trying to talk with Pontius Pilate about. My kingdom's not of this world. And Pilate's like, what? I'm a Roman dude. I'm a Western thinker. Okay. His dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions. And then chapter 6 basically ends Daniel's tenure. Okay? After this, then he goes back home to Jerusalem. Okay? So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Okay? And because of that last sentence, that's why some people would say, well, Darius was probably not Cyrus. He's probably just a governor. But then we got historical documents with Gabrias. And regardless, I think I've explained that well enough for you. I hope so. Now, chapter 7. Chapter 7 now is like going backwards. Okay, so you notice the very first verse, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, okay, So you can't always read Scripture in a linear fashion, okay, either from Genesis to Revelation, because it bounces around. Okay, there actually is a Bible out there. I've got it on my shelf somewhere if anybody wants to buy it. You can read it online. There actually is where you read the Bible in a linear fashion, the best way that scholars think things happened. And so sometimes that takes different sections of books and moves them chapters. And chapter 7 of Daniel would obviously be moved earlier in the book of Daniel, because Daniel is now going back in his memoirs and writing about this. Okay, and so for people, you know, when I encounter people that haven't read the Bible before, this is always one of the challenges. Is they're like, you know, I started reading the Bible and, dude, it's just all out of order, you know, or it kind of repeats itself. Or I say you can't read it like you would a novel or a book, you know, front to back. And so a lot of times I'll start people with the book of John, have them start with John's gospel because it's a little simpler and easier to understand. And even Genesis. Genesis 1 and then Genesis 2 is kind of like Genesis 1 on steroids with more detail. And then, of course, Genesis 3. You know, Exodus and Leviticus, there's overlap between those two. So for Leviticus Bible study people on Wednesday, we've had to reference a little bit of Exodus to fill in the blanks on some things. Okay. So now, are there any questions online or from the few of you that are here with us? Before we jump into 7. We all good on the kings and the time frame and all that? Okay. All right. Chapter 7. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and visions of his head as he lay in his bed. Then he wrote down the dream and told the sum of the matter. Daniel declared, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And sometimes what helps is just close your eyes and listen to this and try and imagine this in your mind as I read. Okay, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. And four great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. Then as I looked, its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. And the mind of a man was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second one like a bear. It was raised up on one side. It had three ribs in its mouth with barbecue sauce between. I like sauce on my ribs. Sorry, I won't interrupt anymore. Behold, another beast, a second one like a bear. It was raised up to one side. It had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And it was told, arise, devour much flesh. After this, I looked, and behold, another like a leopard with four wings of a bird on its back. And the beast had four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, terrifying and dreadful and exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped what was left with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another horn, a little one, before which three of the first horns were plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Now you thought your dreams were crazy. Now this is from God, okay? Now remember, this literature that we're studying of Daniel, just a little bit of review, is apocalyptic. What does apocalyptic mean? Apocalyptic, okay, think Mad Max reference that I dropped earlier, end of times, if you will, okay? Apocalyptic, the end of times. So for Daniel and for Revelation, there are both prophecy that is dealing with the present time, and go back to the statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream of earlier, right? And you remember the different parts of it. We won't review all of it now, but gold, okay, represented Babylon or Nebuchadnezzar, okay? And then we looked at the different layers of that statue, okay? But there was something now that conquered all of this that was at its feet. Do you remember what it was? Rock. Yep, there is iron there as well, okay? And so we went through the different, as near as we could ascertain, the different kingdoms who, conquered and had power. We talked about the Babylonians. We talked about the Persians, the Medes. We talked about the Romans, okay? But there is yet, and pay attention to where this rock occurs, and we're going to get into a little more detail here in chapter 7. And of course, what is a connection for us with rock? Yes, Jesus, the cornerstone, okay? The rock, right? So the same thing that Jesus, says to Peter, Petra, stone, behold, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Well, this is where Roman Catholics would get this a little confused. The rock is not Peter. The rock is faith, is the church, which is all about Jesus. So there's one now who will conquer, all kingdoms, okay? So apocalyptic literature is looking through the present time to the end times, and that's where we learn a lot from Daniel. Now, when we get into Revelation, we're gonna see what John sees. Because John is also given a vision of heaven, of things now, and things that are that we can't see, and things that will be. And this gets kind of difficult for some people trying to, tie together the past, the present, and the future. But the one thing that ties all this together for us is Christ. Let me get on to the rest of 7 here. As I looked, thrones were placed, and probably in your Bible it's capitalized. Is it up there? Oh, it is. The singular definitive article, the Ancient of Days took his seat. Who do you think that is? God. And also Jesus, right? So as we confess in the Athanasian Creed, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, okay? The Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow. The hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames. Its wheels were burning fire. That should make you think a little bit about what was Elijah carried up to heaven in? Flaming chariot, okay? That's the reason our pulpits actually historically are supposed to look a little bit like a chariot. I don't know if you knew that. So as Elijah preached to Elisha from the chariot, so Christ now preaches through the pastor to the people from the chariot, okay? I've even seen some pulpits that have, wheels or flames of fire etched on them, which is very interesting. You see different church architecture that's kind of fun, okay? A stream of fire issued and came out from before him. 1,000,000 served him. And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment and the books were opened. I looked then, so just let your mind, so go back to the initial dream with these crazy creatures, and the one that was like a bear with barbecued ribs in his mouth and wings being torn off, and you got all this, it's very chaotic, right? The first part of the dream here with all of that, and that chaos, very simply, before we start breaking this down into detail, is the chaos of this world. There's people devouring each other, right? Brother against brother, sister against sister, you get just all of this. And this is the sinful world, right? And then in the midst of all of the chaos, of all of these crazy beasts and eating, devouring of flesh and all the kingdoms of the world, okay? And there's the Ancient of Days takes his seat. He takes his seat in the midst of all of this, okay? And he comes now to sit in judgment, okay? So what was the first seat? Fun question for you Leviticus Bible study people or Bible students that are with us. What was the first seat of God? Okay, I might have a professor email me on this one, but I'm going to keep it simple for you. What was the first seat of God on earth? The mercy seat. the mercy seat, tabernacle, temple, okay, the most holy place, right? Now, of course, we know that there is no longer any need for any temple, right? A temple not made with hands, that God dwells now with you through the Holy Spirit, because Christ has sat down, as we confess in the creeds, at the right hand of the throne of God. Okay, so you might say now the final mercy seat of God on earth is the cross, where Jesus now sheds his blood and purchases and redeems you, not with gold and silver, but with his holy precious blood, his innocent suffering and death. So God now comes and dwells, accomplishes the work of redemption for you. Okay, and now where does God dwell? Where his word is proclaimed and purely preached, and his sacraments are rightly administered. The Augustana, or Augsburg Confession, makes that very simple. Okay, so you're not going to find God in your bass boat, or at your quilting frame, or your recliner, or you know the prairie of Nebraska or South Dakota hunting pheasant. You're going to find God where he promises to be, in his word, in his sacrament. And that's what we worship, if you will. We worship him where he promises to be. And that's why, again, gathering together, for fellowship, for church, for divine service is so important. Okay. Questions or comments? Anything that came across the internet there? Nope. Okay, we'll move on. We've got about 4 minutes left. I looked then, this is verse 11, because of the sound of the great words that the horn was speaking. Right? Now, the great horn is most likely the smallest horn. But the words are powerful, right? And pay attention to this if you're going through the Bible studies that were provided for you. I hope you use those each day. I hope you, if you have not been, that you do a daily devotion with your family during the season of Advent. Get the family together. Do it at whatever meal works best, or find a time during the day. Pray with your wives, your children, pray together as a family. Just do a short little study, because that word continues to speak and to work, okay? And as I looked, the beast was killed, and its body destroyed, and given over to be burned with fire. So here again, another connection of fire is always a sign of God's judgment. The application of fire, sign of judgment. As for the rest of the beasts, their dominion was taken away, but their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. So Daniel is now given a dream that is similar to Nebuchadnezzar's, but obviously is much more Christological. Okay, and these various beasts, the four, represent the various kingdoms, dominions. Okay, some of them was taken away. So is there still a Babylonian Empire? No, not at all. Persian? No. Roman? No. Some of them lasted for a while. Some of them were snuffed out pretty quick. Okay, their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. Now, this is where it gets. Now, Daniel's still receiving this is not just a dream of, you know, Daniel's Freudian subconscious, his id and ego and ultra ego, whatever. This is from God. I saw in the night visions, behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days. So now we learn a little bit more about the Ancient of Days. Must be God the Father. Okay? So, like a son of man, because Jesus now was human. God the Father did not take on human flesh. God the Holy Spirit did not take on human flesh. God the Son took on human flesh, right? In the same way that God the Father did not die on the cross for you, God the Holy Spirit did not die on the cross for you. God the Son died on the cross for you. These are important distinctions to make. And okay, and to understand the two natures of Christ, both man and divine. Okay? To him was given dominion, sits at the right hand, right? And glory and a kingdom. Okay, so go back and rewatch, listen to Pastor Grady's excellent sermon this morning, or wait for it here at the second service, that this concept of the king we have is so important, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. Now, some of this Darius got right, okay, and what he had to say after Daniel was preserved and his decree that went out. But now Daniel's vision, which you know still takes place before Darius came, much more detailed. And as for me, 15, Daniel, my spirit within me was anxious. Well, yeah, that's a pretty crazy dream, you know. I mean, I'm stuck on the image of the one that's got ribs in its mouth, you know, with barbecue sauce, probably Kansas City Masterpiece or Rosedale or whatever your favorite is. I approached one of those who stood there and asked him the truth concerning all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of the things. And that's where we're going to stop for today. Next week, we'll pick up at 17, and we're going to go through and look at the interpretation of these four beasts. But I want you to, what I want you to go away from all of this with is two things. Number one, for you as a person of faith, God promises to both protect and preserve you according to his will and according to his time. You will not die before your time or without the Lord's knowledge. Okay? He may or may not protect you from things in this life. He might allow something to happen to you here, i.e. death, that will give you eternal rest and peace. Okay? Number two, as you become anxious about the things of this world and what the governor says or doesn't says or who the president is or who the president isn't or how many houses did we win in the Senate or lose in the Senate or in the House or blah, 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 there is one who yet reigns supreme over all and has dominion, and that's the Ancient of Days who's given the authority to the one like a son of man, which is Jesus Christ, your Savior. Nothing in this world, nothing in your life will occur outside of God's knowledge, outside of his holy will. And he promises that whatever befalls you will yet be for your good. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's stand and close with the Lord's Prayer. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Peace be with you. Amen.